I feel love, I feel love. Oh, I have this song in my head and I can't think of the name. It goes like, have you ever heard it?
No, I haven't. Oh, wow. Great description of it, Mom.
You
yeah.
never heard it?
Listen
again.
All right. Mom, please stop.
I'm going to find out what that means. Is there like an app that actually lets you hum something? I know there's an app that lets you listen to like,
you know what, Mom? I am not sure.
I
no
want
idea.
That app. It's
yeah,
just,
you should create it.
Because a lot of the times, you know, with me, I love, like, I used to always listen to only the rhythm of a song. You used to hate me for that, remember?
Yeah.
Because I never.
I hate you about it, but right.
Well, you would tell me, do you know what that song actually says? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I don't know what it says, but I love, like, the movement, you know? And I'm all dancing over here. And then I found out I was talking about, like, Coco and all this bad stuff. And I'm like, ooh, I'm definitely not going to be listening to that again. I become more present. I become more present. Because
oh, yeah,
now
yeah.
I can actually hear the lyrics in a song and appreciate what is being said versus just, you know, being a buffoon and letting just the rhythm take you to some kind of crazy stuff that's being said in there. So maybe if the app has not been invented, that's something that I can start doing. And there you go. There's my Monopoly.
Yeah,
booyah, right there in 2.2 seconds. You know, today, Alexander. Well, first of all, how was your week? You know,
swell, Mom. Swell.
Ecstatic.
Ecstatic.
You know,
fantastic.
Beyond
phenomenal.
Belief.
It was great.
Another were there a lot of paradigm shifts in your mind today?
No, just calm, simple, another week to live, you know?
That's
how
it.
Was yours? How was yours?
You know what? I had a trillion miracles happen in my life. I probably had 47 different paradigm shifts, and I found out the truth of what my biggest fears were,
oh, yeah?
And then I faced them. Your
oh,
dad
yeah?
and I sat down today, and we did our 60-day goals, and we looked at them, and we saw how doable they were once you actually break them down. You know, not only by day, by months, by 2 months, 60 days, by days, and then by weeks, and then by days. And then I saw how easy it is to accomplish anything that you want once you have a plan in action. However, I left a lot of room for all the amazing miracles God is going to bring in my life in these next 60 days because I have clarity. And now the universe is bound to deliver, right? So you should maybe sit down and put some visions up for yourself. I have a vision board, which I suggest all of you.
I'm pretty sure you talked about it before, Mom.
Yeah, but it's different. A vision board is something, I think, overall, that's my life, you know. Goals, I think when you're setting goals, and a lot of people talk about SMART goals, and people need to start doing the 21-day Deepak Chopra meditation challenge. Because coincidentally, today I'm behind from the whole crowd. I'm on day 7. But he started talking about SMART goals, and it's nothing to what all the business people talk about. I mean, it is, but it isn't. It talks more, it's on a deeper level of finding really true success. And when you are setting goals for yourself, you know, making sure, of course, that they're specific, measurable, trackable, et cetera, et cetera. But beyond that, you got to really take some time to know who the hell you really are. In order to set any goals, a lot of people set goals based on what the outside environment is telling them or what other people are doing. You know, they're like, oh, that guy set that goal. I'm going to set this goal and beat him, you know. Mm. But where do you take the time to actually sit in silence, meditate, and find out what you really want? Not what your wife wants from you, not what your husband, not what your teachers want from you, not what your parents want from you. What do you really want so that you can... Because when these goals become exciting, guess what? You'll accomplish them. If they're boring as hell and if they're based on someone else's expectations of you, I have almost 100% will assure you that you will not meet them, you know?
Yeah.
So you got to really look within.
You missed that one more person, you know? You missed the ego, you know?
What do you mean by that?
Not your true self, the person that you think you are.
Oh, my God. That is so true that you said that because a lot of it, when I went to coaching school, I took a coaching curriculum where they said that, and I was pissed off because he was talking about vision boards, and I was like, you know what? I don't even know if I believe in vision boards because I've done so many vision boards and none of those things came to reality, blah, blah, blah. And then what he told me was, and he was an awesome instructor at SWIHA, Southwest Institute of Healing Arts, he said, maybe, Veronica, because those desires didn't really come from your true self, and maybe it's because they came from a place where, you know, you wanted them for an egotistical. And now when I created my vision board, I was very careful to be very, very true to myself instead of putting shit on there that I knew that I wanted to do just to impress someone who probably doesn't even like me, and, you know, to waste my time instead of working within and doing things that matter to me in my life. Because today we're going to be talking about a pretty freaky subject, you know, not something that I've definitely conquered.
To our culture, I guess.
To our culture, to humans, not cultures.
That's debatable.
Why do you say that?
Well, I mean, and death is a very scary topic to us. We put on a body in caskets. It's all depressing. Everyone's in black. Everyone's all sad. Everyone's just like, oh, another death. They just, it's not like places in like in India or like, because where they have the baby out, I mean, the body out on like a tap where everyone could see, and they have, they take him across the whole city or town, and they sing a mantra with it. It's a lot different. We're more
celebration.
We're more hiding our dead bodies, and we're more scared of it. I don't know.
But can you tell me that the people in India, and we're going to be talking about death, obviously, we just led on to that, death and impermanence. But can you really tell me that the people in India, although they do those types of traditions, unlike what we do in the Western world, can you tell me that they don't mourn, or that they don't feel sad, or that they don't feel like something is missing? Do you really think that those people are fully, I'm sure there's people, and I don't want to mention just India, I'm sure there's people that have understood what all of our spiritual traditions and all of our books talk about, Christianity, Buddhism, the Bhagavad Gita, all of them talk about what this body is, A Course in Miracles, and what death truly is. You know, it's not, we are eternal beings. Every spiritual tradition says that. And when you say my soul, that's actually coming from an egocentric part of your life, because it's not my soul, it's the soul. It's part of, like, the world, you know?
Yeah.
And that, you know, you're here embodying this body. You manifest it in this incarnation as this particular body. And how do you get to a point where you actually tell your mind, stop crying? Because I can tell you right now that what I'm learning through my spiritual traditions is giving me a lot of strength to understand that I'm here right now as this body, you know, but there's a soul that will live on forever, and that there's no urgency in me trying to, you know, eat the world up in one day, because this is a process that I'm here to learn. But when somebody that I love passes on, which, I mean, it's happened to me, but not in a very long time, can I honestly say that I'm not going to shed a tear, or that I'm not going to miss this person? That's my question.
I think I've experienced with death was just like my chihuahua or my fish.
Exactly.
So it's hard to say, like, because I could never really encounter it in myself. But I just feel like I know you're my family, and you, once you guys pass, you guys will still always be with me. I just feel like that sense of your just energy. I don't know. I'm a component of Graham Hancock's theory, which is consciousness is more like, you can compare it to like a radio wave, and our meat bodies, our human bodies, is more like the radio that gets a signal in of our consciousness, and we just wave in. And once we die, we just go another wavelength, and we just, another one.
Another dimension.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, what is that theory called?
I don't know what it's called.
No,
I just heard it from Graham Hancock.
Oh, Graham Hancock, okay. Hancock, sorry. Yeah, and everything that you study today, my Course in Miracles lesson, which is crazy why you wanted to talk about this today, talk about the truth of what death really means. And, you know, again, we're using this body, and use it wisely. It's your temple, obviously. That's what all the spiritual traditions
of course,
say.
That mind-body connection.
The trilogy, mind-body connection. Mind-body-spirit connection, I'm sorry. That's your trilogy when you're in your full power, which means absolutely take care of it. I mean, don't fill it with drugs. Don't go out there and be promiscuous and give it to just anyone. And if you got to do it, go do it, I guess, but let it be a phase. But also do it with fun. I mean, do it because you want to, not because you're empty inside. That's the problem with promiscuity, that most people do it because they're empty inside, not because they're like sex fiends, you know?
Or remember, addiction, same thing. It's not because we're addicted to the substance, it's because we're trying to fill something else with...
Fill the void.
That we're lacking, yeah.
And this is one of the biggest fears that people try to fill the void in. They're scared of people dying around them, and they're scared of them dying, so they never truly live, because that's their biggest fear. I heard today from Deepak Chopra that was amazing in his meditations that said that our only true purpose really in this world. Actually, it was not Deepak Chopra. I take that back. It was A Course in Miracles. It said, our only true purpose in this world is to wake up in the dream, to wake up in the dream and to figure out who we truly are, and to know that, you know, death is something that basically you're, when you are, like you said, when you are putting the body in a casket and when people around you are crying, then that's a disrespect almost to God, to saying God or source, universe, whatever you want to call it, you don't know what the hell you're doing and why are you taking this person away from me. But the most important thing that I heard today from A Course in Miracles was that it said that the true meaning of death is actually believing that you are separate from source. That's the only meaning of death. So when you are in this incarnation as a human being and you think that you're alone and you cry, you're angry, you're sad, you're depressed, you can't accept and surrender to what your eyes are perceiving or what your heart is feeling, that is the true meaning of death, because at that point you feel you've lost all concept of the truth of who you are, a child of God that is permanent, like the most traditions say, and that you know, that is death, because death feels that way. Think about it. When somebody passes on, doesn't it feel like you're incomplete, like you're not whole, like literally you're missing a huge part of who you are? Isn't that what it feels like? When somebody dies.
Depends on the human, I guess. Because if the person just avoids the death all their life and just pretends that it's never going to be there, then it's going to come out of nowhere and it's going to even shoot us down like more than ever before. But if we like we go out and read the Tibetan Book of the Dead, or we go out there and like accept it and read it and just to understand that's inevitable and just I don't know just surrender to it and
well yeah it's almost
running from it.
Yeah, I think one my biggest fear was once I started reading this stuff was then if I accepted that, like if I accepted that I'm an eternal being, because I'm all about, I get anxious. Like I'm impatient. I want things to be done. I want to eat the whole world in one day because I'm like scared. Well, what if I die and I don't accomplish my dreams, right?
Yeah.
So then when I started to read all of this stuff and I started to find more peace with what this is, and I started to pray a lot and ask the Holy Spirit to help me really understand what this all is, even for someone who hasn't suffered through all of this. But I see people around me suffering all the time. I just had a client who lost her dad like 3 weeks ago, and then last week lost her mom. And it wasn't like in an accident, I don't think. It was just illness. And she said that on Facebook. She's like, I can't find myself complete in any place I stand. And I felt a lot of compassion for her. And I thought, wow, maybe in her shoes I would freak out, you know? So I almost felt like once I started accepting that I am eternal being, that, oh, my God, I hope I don't attract death to myself. You know what I mean? Like, I was freaked out about that.
Yeah. I've never really been afraid of my own death. Like, but just the people around me and my family, that really bothered me for a while. And until recently, I mean, I still have no idea because I never firsthand experienced it. But I just feel like it'll still always be with me, and those memories are captured in my heart, and just those experiences with them, they just won't ever go away, and leaving them forever in me.
But then it's also a big reminder for people to just wake up then. You know, if you know that you're going to leave this body, that's the inevitable. I haven't met anyone yet who's lived on forever.
Hey, maybe we can download our consciousness into a computer by then.
Oh, yeah, we can. We saw those movies. What was that movie you saw?
Transcendence.
Transcendence, and then the other one, Lucy, wasn't it Lucy?
I don't know how it's related. What do you mean?
Wasn't Lucy the one about the computer?
She took that drug and she became more like.
Oh, that was much more conscious with that movie. But yeah, you're right. There's another movie that basically talks about how a computer literally is. Is that the one with Johnny Depp?
Yeah, Transcendence.
Yeah, it is. Okay. Well, that I had this cough, and this is not death. This cough is me not accepting the truth of who I am. I realized that this week.
Oh, yeah?
Every time I try to push away from what I need to be doing in my heart, I get sick. Anyways, yes, unless you're going to be artificial intelligence and you're going to get someone in a computer and you're going to put them there and all of that, you know, yes, maybe that could be. And who knows what that could even evolve into. Would you really want that? I mean, it's just a computer. I think the hardest thing to say is like you're letting go of the body, you know. But I think we die all the time. You know, we were once a toddler. We were once a teenager. We were once in high school. Then we went to college or not. And then we went to, we had babies and got married. And all those times, you're really dying and turning into this new person. Mm. So I think the biggest problem is that we're not okay with uncertainty. And we're very hard to make changes. You know, we're so stuck sometimes that it takes, seriously, a miracle, which is a paradigm shift in your mind, to get you to move forward and progress. But whether you want it or not, if you're not evolving, you're going to die. Because guess what? This is what this universe is. It's constantly expanding and changing, and it's not permanent.
But you don't think dying is evolving?
It is. So you have to accept and surrender to it. Yeah. And it's just, when you accept and surrender to it, I think then you become free to actually just be you. So you know you have X amount of time in this incarnation as Alexander or as Veronica, right? Why not be the best of it? You know, the thing that I hated the most about my last 34 years of life is that I was so guilty of everything that I did. I felt guilty of anything, and that, those kind of feelings, like if I was working too much, I would feel guilty because I wasn't home with you, you know? Yeah. If I was home with you, I was guilty because I should have been out. If I was out having a great time with my friends, I was guilty because I should have been home. If I was making a lot of money, I was upset because I was not putting enough time into my spirit, whatever, you know? And all of those is a waste of your freaking time. If you understood truly, okay, I'm going to let go of this body. Yes, I'm an eternal being that I'm here to learn lessons, and I may wake up fully in this incarnation. I may not. And I may go on to another incarnation as a divine god, or I may come back as a plant, whatever you believe in, right? But if you know that you're not going to keep this body forever, then why do we waste it? Why does that fear, or why does knowing that you're going to get rid of it, why? Because you think it's not going to happen to you?
You pretend and just put it off?
I think we do. We pretend and we hide and we Band-Aid. And you know what happens with the cut? If you put a Band-Aid on it and if you don't actually take care of it, you know, it's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. And that's really what that is. And I think for me, this subject is probably, I'm not scared of anything else but this. You know, I can't tell you that I'm not scared about it. I heard that it's like the most blissful thing that could ever happen to you. I think you, like you said, you were not worried about your own death. You were worried about, like, the people that died around you. I was worried about me leaving the people here, you know? Like, I didn't want to leave anyone. I wanted to just stay here. I'm having such a great time in this incarnation that I don't want God to, you know, give me a surprise. That's why there's always a sense of urgency inside of me, kind of like, well, you know, you're not getting any younger, but you are, because I feel like I am getting younger with my new mindsets and, you know, my body. I think we're just told, see that phrase right there, you're not getting any younger. People hear that all the time. So, yes, you are getting younger. Why do we have to get older? You know, there's people that are 90 and they look like they're 50, or they're 60 and they look like they're 25 nowadays.
Like a giant, a very old human being. You look like a baby.
Yes. So it has to do with your mind, and it has to do with the awareness of your mind and the thoughts that are going in it. So I think overall what I'm seeing is, hey, you have a fear, go research it. If it's death, go find out more about that.
Experience.
I heard somewhere that there is, I don't know where did I hear this, but there is actually a tradition and with Tibetan monks where they, when they're in retreats, they're actually asked to meditate like for hours and hours around all of these corpses.
Oh.
And then, you know, Deepak Chopra also meditated on his own death when he was on that retreat as well. You know, to do that kind of stuff, that's like really facing, you know, the fear, you know, that there's nothing else there. Can you imagine something like that?
I probably can't. And also with an Ethiopians or psychedelics, they recently in college, some college, I forgot which college, they gave terminally ill patients a dose of psilocybin, and that experience was a religious experience, allowing them to, the majority of them, to experience, accept and accept their own death. And they were going to die soon, and all those anxieties, they faced them, which allowed them to go past them.
Well, I'm going to ask for a lot of psychedelics right by my bed. I'm probably going to go, like, when I'm 108 and just, you know, young as and beautiful as ever. But, well, actually, we just saw that documentary, too, on psychedelics and marijuana and all of that stuff. You know, they were, it was so ironic what they were saying, that what if we had a society instead of people that are suffering from prescription drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, they were all dying from all that shit. They are. Everyone's dying from that shit. Instead, we had a society that actually had access to, you know, like marijuana's becoming more legal in different places, and psychedelics. You know, I don't think they're for everyone. We talked about this. You know, I think that there are people that find their spiritual path through yoga, through spiritual traditions, but there's a lot less people that do that. I mean, exactly. You're for sure, if you take one of these psychedelics, you're for sure going to experience something. No boundaries. So that's the way I said that. I love the way the documentary stated that, you know, what these psychedelics actually do to you is they actually remove all boundaries, and they let you see the truth of who you are, the eternal being that you are. There is no Alexander and Veronica. We're just one. You know, we're this beautiful soul that's part of this. I mean, I don't know if people ever stand back and actually look up in the sky and say, what is that? I don't understand if people understand that we're this round circle in the middle of nothingness, and that literally we are moving and rotating, and that there's gravity, and there's things that grow without us even knowing how the heck that happens. I think that we are so, oh my God, consumed in the world of do, get, take, take, take. We don't even take the time to actually see the miracle that are happening around us, you know?
Going back to the psychedelic part and how you don't need them, obviously, to face death, Ram Dass, when he was first having those experiences in Harvard with them, and after that, I think Aldous Huxley gave him the Tibetan Book of the Dead, mm-hmm. And he said as he read that, it was completely, like, reminded him and just of all his experiences with psychedelics so it was practically the same thing, and all those Tibetan lamas or monks, they didn't have, they didn't have, like, psychedelics. They had meditation experience that on their own.
Well, no, and especially in the East, they really did not with the psychedelics. I love the way the Westerners experimented with that. But it's a tool. It's a tool. If you are really seeking God and you can find it through meditation, you can find it through spirituality, and that's your tool, go do it. Like, don't. The thing is that guilt, rules, laws, are holding people back from finding their true connection with source, with God, and from knowing who they truly are. I feel like that's my new mission in life, because I've been through a lot. My life has not been like a little walk in the park, you know? It started with, you know, you being pregnant at 16 and with your dad. We've been married for almost 20 years. You know, we've been together for 20 years. And it has not been easy. But the reason it has lasted and the reason why I beat the odds is not because... And this is why I wanted to bring up, because if any young people are listening to us, you know, value your body. Don't go out there and have sex with just anyone. And just, you know, I was in love. I was an honor student, like I said, between, right? You see how quickly things can happen, kids? Don't fuck around with this shit. Like, seriously, you know, get it together. All of those things were working out for me. You know, I was doing all of this. And I don't even know where I'm going with this. I was telling you about this before this. But I wanted to say that because from last week's podcast, we talked about that book. You know, about stepping it up and all that stuff. But I want to make sure people understand that, you know, oh, my life has not been a walk in the park or anything like that, right? But it's the choices and the decisions that we make every single freaking day, everything that we do. And we don't know it all, but the reason why we're talking about this right now is because we've read studies, you know? Ram Dass, I love what he said, you know, and I, Ram Dass has been around since when? Since the 60s, 70s?
He was a big symbol of the 60s, but...
And I didn't know about it until you introduced him to me. Jack Kornfield, all of those. I guess I wasn't ready to actually hear his stuff. And, you know, he talks about all of his struggles in life, you know, facing all of these things. And he says that all the... Maharaji, he was talking about Maharaji. That's his girl. So he went over there. None of them were on psychedelics. None of them. They literally were truly in tune with God. They were in the presence of the Christ consciousness around these yogis.
There's a little story that Ram Dass told where he had like 11 tabs of LSD or something, like a good amount. He was like, and he showed it, he wanted to give it Maharaji, And Maharaji, like, said, all right, give me all of it. And he gave him all, and he ate, like, so much, like, this very, very potent LSD. And then, like, hours went by, and nothing happened at all, because he goes through those experiences every day without that stuff.
Exactly, and that's what these yogis teach. You know, they can go days, months. I mean, one has gone for, like, years without eating anything. Why? Because they're so connected to Source. There is nothing that they need outside of them to actually survive in this incarnation as a body. That's incredible. And for all these people that are like, oh, East and West, religion, this, this, and that. Guess what? Maharaji taught him about Christ. You know, Ram Dass didn't know about Christ. They were like, oh, they were.
That's really true.
Yeah, Jack Kornfield, Ram Dass did this. They were on a panel, all of them. And Maharaji was like, oh, well, he started teaching about Christ. And then, I don't know the other guy's name that was on this panel. You told me his name.
Raghu Marcus,
I think it was. He said, you know, well, Maharaji keeps, and this is their guru, keeps talking about Christ. I think maybe we should read that book. So then they started reading the Bible. At that point, like,
really?
Yes, it was just like, you know, they didn't believe in it because, you know, that Terrence McKenna guy, is that what you... Terrence McKenna talks a lot about psychedelics and all of that stuff. But what I didn't like about his presentation was that he decided that psychedelics was the only way to actually connect yourself to God.
His whole persona, yeah.
Yeah, his whole persona. He's like, he didn't believe. He made fun of, like, the Eckhart Tolle.
He was a super intelligent guy, and he knew, like, a lot, but he was just too much on one side. He wasn't, like, a moderate, you know?
No, I mean, and you can't do that. If you really, yeah, truly do believe in something, fine, believe it, but you don't have to, like, talk shit about other people. Because then he started saying, all, like, Eckhart Tolle, Deepak Chopra, all these people that talk about spiritualism. Yeah, about spiritualism, he was just like, oh, you know, it's not, don't listen to these people. I was like, hell no, there's a million people, Christ, there's Buddha, there's a trillion people that we don't even know about in the Himalayas somewhere that are not on psychedelics and that can actually do this and that are actually connected to Source. So that is what death is. Death is not, death, yes, you leave this body and you come back and you probably don't remember, just like the way you don't remember how you were born. But death is simply a disconnection from God. And I hope to God that if I lose somebody close to me, dear Lord, please help me. Please help me find the compassion, because I'm saying these words and I want to believe them in my heart. And that's why I'm saying them, because maybe someone out there needs to hear them right now. There's so much pain and hurt from this concept. And I feel like since we're little, we're told, hey, you're not going to die. You're just going to let go of this body and you're going to be okay. You know, don't worry about that. Then I think more of us would get more shit done. Don't you think?
Possibly. I'm not sure. Can we end on one quote by Ram Dass?
Yes, please.
Well, I like this one. He just said how dying is absolutely safe.
Okay. Aw. Easy. That's why I love Ram Dass. He makes it so easy and safe. Please check him out. The book we're reading now is Be Here Now. It's a beautiful book. You have to buy it in print because it's that beautiful. But don't be scared, and hopefully none of us will be scared, and we can actually live a compassionate life of being our true self. Know yourself. Know thyself.
Peace. Thank you.
Peace, 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 and lots of light and love.